please welcome Melanie Cox and Ben and Avina, if you'd like to come up and take a seat in our lovely, well, you can sit here, Mel, and try and arch the chair so that everyone can see your lovely faces. They don't need to see mine, they've seen enough of mine, but this is part two of our relationship series. And we are so excited to be here today sharing this with you, because one of the best ways to share is to hear some stories from people who have done it and done it well and have lived a life, and it's so encouragement. And I know that every one of you here, we appreciate all of our church members, and our theme for this year is the power of relationship. It's so powerful, you know, having a relationship obviously first with our God and our Saviour, as Stephen mentioned earlier, and having a relationship with each other, because it's through our connect groups, it's through, you know, our marriage, who are married couples, and our friends that we have around us that stand with us when we go through things. And it's about building a community, community in church, but also a community out there, because it's through relationships. It's through showing how you care for someone that you actually show the love of God. So we're going to get down to it. And I'm excited to have these wonderful guests here with you. Well, not really. Well, our guests on the stage. And I'd like to, first of all, get yourselves to introduce yourself and just... yes, on. The sound desk people will turn it up if they need to. So just speak as you would normally speak. And so would you like to introduce yourself, who you are, what do you do, just really quickly?
Hi, I'm Melanie. I'm a mum of three boys, Callum, 31, and twins Tyler and Elliot, 29. I've been a Christian for 17 and a bit years, but was brought up in a Christian family, but walked away as a young adult, as many people do. And then a beautiful friend took me to Riverview, and I had no intention of giving my life to Jesus, and he had other plans. Yes. So, and I've been here at C3 for about 3 years. I'm a primary school teacher, which is why I was crying earlier. I've loved the holidays. Term 4 is really hard work.
Oh, we love it.
So prayers for me for Monday. Thank you.
We love our primary school teachers. Having a young boys at kinder, we love them. They're so good. All right, and a lovely couple over here. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hi. Yep, my name is Ben, and I'm the father of one dog, Missy. Yep.
Excellent.
Yeah. I've been coming to this church for, I think, well, 13 years.
Wow.
Yep. Awesome. And for myself, I'm involved in the altar call and ministry, and also in Connect Group.
Awesome.
Hello, my name is Avina. Can I say, if you see me fidgeting, it's because I wore my highest heels and I'm still can't touch the ground.
That's all right. I'm in the
feeling
same
a little
boat.
Unsettled.
It's okay. Dang. I'm in the same boat. I know.
Someone
we need
get me a cushion.
Commission chairs for
okay.
Short people.
So my name is Avina. That's my lovely husband there. So if you haven't known by now, we're not from Australia originally. We migrated to Australia from Singapore 1st October 2007. So this is our 14th year here, we started coming to C3 a year and a half later, so about 13 years. I actually worked with Charlie in Port Care since March this year, so he's a very lucky man.
Yeah, I would say so, definitely.
I'm very glad that he's not here today, so I can talk about conflict at workplace, okay? So yeah, so that's what I do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so you've all mentioned that you are married. So, Ben and Avina, how long have you been married for exactly?
20 years.
Wow, that's awesome. And how did you know that each other was the person that you wanted to spend the rest of your life with?
I don't.
You don't? You're still not sure?
It was a leap of faith.
By faith? Amen to that one.
That's right. Yeah. No, really.
I get you. I hear you. Absolutely.
I guess that's a million-dollar question.
Isn't it?
Who are dating out there,
yeah.
You will never know.
No.
Yeah, but I think there are some basic a principle
yep.
that you have to abide with. And I think as Christian, the one thing that God has called us to do is to not be unequally yoked.
Yep.
And if, let's say, the other party is a Christian, then God is in the mix and God is able to do a miracle of that. So yep. that's what I believe.
Yep. Okay, yeah, awesome.
So Ben wasn't the one that I was looking for. So right. I was looking for someone. Ben,
but that's so, okay, Ben's a lucky man that got you in the end.
Exactly. So, I mean, it is a proof of you think you know, but God knows better. So I started out looking as a young woman, you know, looking mm-hmm. for a man that's much taller, actually big, like big, and actually with a little bit of belly, because I just want a big man to overcompensate what I don't have. And I also wanted someone who's really outspoken, very assertive, very kind of like go-getter and things. And Ben wasn't like that, if you haven't noticed by now, he's completely opposite. But that actually was pretty good because he set us a very good foundation for friendship. He was my connect group leader, so singles out there.
Right, there you go.
I was a first year uni student, and he's just, you know, fresh out of working force. So it's my connect group leader. And I remember one lunchtime, we went out for lunch, just two of us, and we actually just casually said, actually, who are you looking for in your life partner? And we shared very honestly because we were just friends.
Yeah.
And he was looking for an older woman, like 5 years older than him, obviously, and I'm not, okay? I'm not. So we actually walked out from that lunch feeling we're not who we're looking for. So we actually became really great friends.
Right.
Great friends for 4 years. We were friends for 4 years before we dated.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. That's actually probably a good start to relationships.
So there wasn't any pretend.
No pretend.
Which is really good.
So you get to know the true self. That's right. Because, you know, the honeymoon phase in a new relationship when you first get married only lasts for a short while, doesn't it? Then life sets in. So if you can be friends first, that's probably a good start. Now, Melanie, would you like to share a little bit about your marriage? And you're in a different situation, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
With a husband that doesn't come to church.
I am. I was married first at age 20, way before I knew what was good for me. I married the wrong man, and we stood at the altar and he promised to love and to cherish, and he didn't.
Right.
So after 19 years... Sorry.
It's okay.
I got the courage to leave. And I took my boys with me, and we started a new life. I bought my own home,
wow.
and I was super proud of myself.
Yeah.
And my boys would say, "Mum, that guy's having a little look at you." And I'd say, "I'm not interested in another guy. I've had Dad for 19 years, and, you know, I just need a break." And so I think God had other plans, because on the 2nd of January 2004, I met Paul, and in a pub in Fremantle, Moondyne
awesome.
Joe's, which is not my next bed. There could be a lot of tears here.
Oh, bless.
And on the 10th of January, I gave my life to Christ.
Nice.
So I met Paul, gave my life to Christ, met him again on the 14th, and he asked me out. And I did feel and I still feel now that God has a really strong plan for Paul's life.
So awesome.
There is a deep-seated reason that he won't go to church,
yeah.
and it's not abuse, but, a family situation led to him being very afraid of going to church, and
right.
he still won't set his foot in the door of a church.
Right.
So... every day he's in my prayers.
So,
so very early on in our relationship, I had to kind of set some boundaries, and I said to Paul three things. If you're going to love me, you have to love my kids, and you have to love that I love God. I'm not asking you to love God because you don't know him yet, but you have to respect that I love God.
Mm.
So through our relationship, it's made for some interesting conversations, because I tithe 10% of my salary, and my husband's an accountant and a business manager. he's not money oriented. Money is never his focus.
Yep.
He doesn't need to have a flash car. He doesn't need to live in a flash home. He doesn't need to have great clothes. He's a very simple person. He's a very good person, and that's what attracted me to him. Having been married to a man who could turn nasty on a pinhead, Paul's just the exact opposite and treats me like a princess. And I guess that's the reason that I was really attracted to him was he's 6'7", if anyone's ever met him, and he's gentle as a lamb. He's wow. Beautiful. So through our relationship, I think even though he's not Christian, he encourages me to come to church. Still can't get a head round my tithing. He says, you know that money would be much better put in your super. And I'm like, yep, but this is only temporary here, Paul. We're not going to be here forever, and I'm going to heaven, and that's where my riches are. And that money's not mine. That is God's money that he gives me, and I only give him back 10%. I should really be giving it all back to him. So then with our missions projects, he's like, you've already tithed and now you're giving more. And so we just have that same conversation again. So, again, just setting those boundaries for tithing and for... he's very open. Today when I go home, he'll say, how did it go? And I've been writing in a little journal and leaving it open for him so he can see what I'm going to talk about.
So good.
So he keeps me real. Yeah. He keeps me accountable because I know he's watching me.
Right.
You know, he's watching me as a Christian. Mm. Why did she behave that way? Mm. Why did she drop champagne round for someone else's anniversary? You know, why did she, you know, and he's watching to see what I do as a Christian so I can be a great testimony, I guess, in his life. And he has the cover of my prayers.
So good. And isn't it awesome how God restores? You know, it doesn't matter that you went through a bad relationship to begin with, but, you know, I think God restores. So I think it's encouraging maybe if there's people here that are going through something tough. You know, God can restore. God can restore relationships. You know, God can bring new things along, and it's so good. And I love hearing about how you are like an ambassador for Christ, really, in your family. And I know that we haven't got time today, but I know that you have shared some incredible stories about how by your tithing and giving to missions, how you've actually seen increase financially in your both yourself and your husband. And it's just incredible. God is a God that restores. God is a God that provides. Yeah. And I think his days are numbered. Really, if you're praying
really
for him, his days are numbered.
They really are.
Thank you so much for sharing, Mel. Ben and Avina, so what are some major differences in your relationship now than when you were newly married? You've been married for, did you say, 20 years? That's awesome. So can you think of any major differences that have occurred through your relationship over the years?
I think I've learned how to fight well.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so we do have fights. I've learned to pick my battles. Mm-hmm. Not everything is worth fighting for. So I've learned to, you know, not major on the minor.
Right.
I've learned to accept Ben for who he is. So Ben is not a man of grand romantic gestures, right? I'm a typical woman who just wants a guy to do all these grand gestures of love, and Ben's not that kind of thing, you know. I sometimes still wish he does, but he doesn't. But I've accepted it. And I've also come to accept that he shows his love in very, very different way, in really mundane but consistent daily manner. Right. He knows I hate to top up fuel for my car. So he would drive my car whenever it runs. So he goes to a servo, he top it up for me.
So sweet.
He makes me a cup of tea when I get home. He makes a coffee for me in the day. He do up my side of the bed because I hate making side of bed. So he does things like that. That's unseen, that's mundane. He walks the dog when I'm too tired to walk the dog. So I always tell a young couple starting out, I'm like, the grand gestures of love is fine. It's great if you got it. It's the icing on the cake. But you want to look for a man who's consistently demonstrating that he loves you and this is how he cares for you. So I think that's been the major difference for me.
Awesome.
Wow, sounds like I've been doing a lot, hey?
You have been doing an amazing job.
I better
job.
Slow down and stop.
So there you go, husband, putting petrol in the car, lots of cups of teas and coffees. Walk the dog, sounds
feeling
good to
feeling tired
me.
Just by listening to that. All right, I really don't have an answer to that question.
That's all right.
I think in a marriage, it's hard work. I think it's like after, there's this thing called the honeymoon period.
Yes.
And everyone wish that it will last forever.
Don't we all, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it is often not the case. And like what she says, we still squabble. We don't put on our sparring gloves and fight physically. But the thing is, sometimes words actually hurts more than anything. But I think, for the benefit of the audience, these are not like off the cuff questions. We were given this for like about 2 weeks. And for the last 2 weeks, I've been thinking about it. I'm not a person who can respond off the cuff. So Avina was saying, like, why are you so stressed? It's like, why are you doing this to yourself? But it is just me. I hate it, but it is just me. So I think today, since we are in a church setting, it is not so much of listening to how I respond to conflicts, but actually sharing a bit about how God, in His Word, has taught us how to respond to conflict.
Absolutely.
So I think in the book of James, in the book of James, it says that be quick to listen, slow to speak, and then slow to be angry.
Yeah.
And I think that is really good because when God created us, He has given us 2 years and then a one mouth.
That's
so it's
right.
Like we have to listen twice as much as we speak. So I think that itself is amazing. And I think the reason why we are asked to be slow, quick to listen, is because many a times when there is a conflict, we tend to look at the emotion rather than the...
Yep.
Rather than the underlying, you know, where is this coming from? So the best way to diffuse a conflict is to ask questions. For me, I always ask questions. I always ask, why are you feeling like that? Is there anything that I say or do that you are not happy with? And I find that actually helps me. Because if I'm able to understand where this is coming from, I tend to be able to handle it better. Instead of looking at emotion, I think God has given us human beings beautiful emotions. But we are so quick to get angry because I think anger, being an emotion, we feel that whenever we are angry, we have got more power. Like we are more empowered over the other person. So I think it is very important to understand where is this coming from? Yep.
No, that's so good. And I think that's really great tips, and I think that can help with any kind of relationships, marriage, friendships, because we are humans, we do have emotions and things do happen. So fantastic, thanks so much for sharing. Now look, here's a good question. We've talked about how to resolve conflict and some other goings-ons, but what about the most joyful part of being married? You think of some good things that have happened that you've loved about being in your marriage?
Yeah. My background and from where I've come from, and people talk about that honeymoon period, but Paul and I often say, and his mum has said it, you two are still on honeymoon, and we celebrated our 9th wedding anniversary yesterday.
Oh, wow.
It was actually our second 9th anniversary. So we were married in the Maldives on the 18th of September, and that was only a symbolic wedding because it's a Muslim country. So we actually consider that our real anniversary, but yesterday was the day when we went up to the celebrant's office and took longer to park the car than get married. And it was also, my girlfriend had had a battle with breast cancer and it was her last radiotherapy day. So we went up to town, met my husband and his witness, who was also called Paul. We went up in the lift together. We quickly took our rings off and popped them in our pockets. And we did the ceremony and then went back downstairs. When we got back down onto St. George's Terrace, he gave me a peck on the cheek and said, I'll catch you later. He went back to work with his mate and Beth and I went off and had a lovely lunch. And another girlfriend met us and we said, doll up, we're like going to be dressed to the nines. So we were sat having this lovely lunch in Fremantle in our posh clothes and our heels and our jewellery. And a waitress said, you girls are awfully dressed up. What's going on? And Beth proudly said, oh, she got married this morning. It's like, where's the groom? He's back at work. So, yeah. But I think Paul's very peace-loving. And I can be a bit volatile. I have that. I'm a Leo born under the year of the tiger. And I can flare up. But he keeps me calm and he's taught me to slow down. And one of his favourite sayings is, if you need to sleep, you need to sleep. So afternoon naps are a must at our place, which I love. But honestly, life with Paul, it just couldn't be nicer. I'm just very, very lucky. And having, I think... you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And so my journey has taught me, was certainly my first marriage taught me what I didn't want. Mm. And then Paul has been everything that I needed. And so now we just need to take, for him to take that step of faith and it'll be all good. Can I tell a funny story?
You can go and tell
about, so Paul always says to me, pray for me, won't you, when you say your prayers? And I'm like, yeah, love, you're always first. And one night as we're falling asleep, he said, now, you know I've got golf tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We always joke that I go off to worship my God and he goes off to worship his little white ball. And... so he said, I'd really love a hole in one. And I'm like, I don't think God has that on his radar, love, because, you know, there's so many other things in the world that need fixing and your hole in one's not that important. But okay, Father God, please give Paul a hole in one. So on the 18th of the 1st, 2018, on the 18th hole, Paul got his hole in one.
And
in December at the golf wind-up, he was presented with a hole-in-one trophy and I thought, I can't miss this opportunity.
Yes.
So I jumped up from my seat and went out to the front and grabbed the microphone and I said, I just have to share something with you. That, and I told them the story about how I'm a Christian and Paul goes to worship the little white ball and that I had prayed that he would get a hole-in-one.
So
and they said, well, we have to have that trophy back because that's divine intervention.
Oh, so good.
And then for a couple of months in the new year when they started up playing golf again, they'd make Paul get down on his knees and say a little prayer before he started playing golf.
Oh, so
good. It was very cute. And I was able to witness to everyone that, you know, God does answer prayer.
Does.
Even if it's as random as a hole in one.
Yeah, no, it's so good. God's got it big enough. He's big enough to look after all the problems and answer our, you know, our little prayers as well. No, it's so good. Okay, now what would you say to your younger self, your younger unmarried self, now that you've had some years of experience, what would you say to your younger self? Would you say anything about being married, being in a relationship? What would be the key thing that you would say to your younger self? Anything?
I would say you're better off being single rather than marry the wrong person. So
that's,
I've always tried to say,
very
you know what, if you marry the wrong person, you're better off being single and happy and fulfilled. You don't have to be married to be happy and fulfilled. You don't have to have children to be happy and fulfilled. You can be just as who you are. And I think that's the X factor about being a Christian, because my identity is not built on the role I play. I play the role of a daughter, for wife, for auntie, but that doesn't define me.
Right.
What defines me is what the Bible says I am. So I would tell my younger self, know who you are based on what God tells you, and then you seek out what God has in plan for you.
So good. Yeah. So good. Have you got anything, Ben? Doesn't matter if you don't, but I'm sure you have.
Yeah, I just want to say that I second that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
No, that is so true. It's so true. That's it first. It's knowing who we are in God. That's our base, isn't it? Okay, now friendships, like marriage, can also have its ups and downs. And, you know, some people have a few good friends, some have acquaintances, and others have deep and meaningful relationships. But, you know, we are made to do life together, and, you know, that's part of the power of relationship. That's our theme this year is, you know, it's relationships come in all different shapes and sizes. So I just want to ask, put the question out there, what types of friendships do you have, and what has influenced your choice of friends? Has anything influenced your choice of friends? Mel, why don't you start?
So I have friends from all walks of life and all ages, and I think it has to be a relationship where you get something back. So if you keep giving and giving and giving to a relationship, you know when it gets tired and jaded and you come away and you think, oh, I'm exhausted. So a friendship that that gives back as much as you give to it, I think that's really important. I have Christian friends and non-Christian friends. So that, you know, brings a different dynamic to my life. At the school I'm at the moment, I'm very fortunate to have been there a very long time. I first went there in 1984. So it's, you know, 37 years. Is that right? 37 years I've been at that school. And we've had a lot of Christians in it in the time that I've been there. But at last count, there was myself and the lady in the office who's Seventh-day Adventist. We're the only Christians left in our workplace. So that can often cause a few little issues. But what would Jesus do? He'd just love them. Love them, forgive them for what they say. And so that's what I do.
No, it's awesome. What about you guys? What about your friendships?
I generally look for low maintenance friendship relationship in general. I'm not good at calling all the time, texting all the time. I'm absolutely not good at that. So I realize my friendships are, I look for people who are low maintenance. So they're not expecting me to hang out with them every week, call them every day, share with them everything. So I have two best friends, and they're not in this country, and we only text probably a few times a year, and we text or call when there's something that we really want to share. But is there a depth in our relationship? Absolutely.
Yeah.
If I have anything, they will be the first one that I call or I share. Good news, bad news, but we don't keep in touch all the time. So I think over the years, I look for people who are low maintenance. If you are high maintenance, I just steer clear out of you. I'm like, yeah, good, hi, nice to meet you. Yeah, see you later. So that's one. And I think over the years, I also, as I age, I'm less hung up about how long is there a future in this relationship. I think when I was growing up, as all young people do, you want to look for people who stay in your life and then you invest into it. As we grow older and we move, we make a big move from Australia to Singapore, and we've been in this church, from Singapore to Australia, and we've been in this church, we've been in young adult ministry for a while, for a season. We had people come in and out of our life in seasons. And one thing that God has really challenged me in our life here in Australia was actually, don't be so hung up about if people are here to stay. If they are here in your life in this season, you give the best of your life. You keep an open heart. Keep an open home, because you never know what you're sowing to. And I have actually been amazed, because coming from a very Singaporean Asian culture, it's like everything is quite transactional. Like, for me to kind of spend time with you, I want to make sure, like, I get something out of, oh, you're here to stay for a long time. So coming to Australia, where I can't really be selective of who can be my friends, I pretty much want to grab everyone who wants to talk to me because I need friends. Then I realized that, hey, God is also challenging my mindset about don't be so hung up if people are going to hear to stay. Just remain open. And we have made beautiful friendship over the years through people who walk through these doors, mm-hmm. through my workplace. Half of them are not in this country anymore. If they've gone back to the country of origin, we've stayed in touch. We have the opportunity to visit them when we travel. We've stayed in their homes, you know, and that's beautiful, you know. Is that a friendship? I consider that a friendship, but it's not a friendship in your conventional way where we meet up over a cup of coffee, we constantly text, but you'll be people that I make a conscious effort to keep in touch. Yeah.
Excellent, yeah.
I guess by now we get a gist that she's the outgoing one. I can spend time all alone by myself.
Yes.
It sounds good.
Oh, yeah. Yep, so that's the benefit of marriage. Yeah, but I think when I became a Christian, I started to serve, to get involved in young adult groups.
Okay.
And I've actually built quite a good relationship with some of them, mm-hmm. Particularly this guy. His name is Joey. I knew him when he was this tall, and I always felt that God has got a call in his life. Mm. And long story short, he did get into the ministry. Now he's actually a young adult pastor of our previous home church, and I think it's about 500 strong in members. And it's like he is now married with two kids, beautiful kids. And as and when he has got the opportunity, he will always want to fly over here and visit us and reconnect with us.
So
I think that is really amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether I've actually intentionally invested in his life, but to him, I did.
Yeah.
And I think that is very precious to me. To be able to have that relationship from back then and still going on, ongoing, and also the distance has not actually stopped us from feeling connected.
Yeah.
So that's amazing.
No, it is good. So I love it because, you know, with your close friends, there's been a connection. It doesn't matter whether you see each other all the time or, you know, there's you know, gaps because obviously they live in different countries. But isn't that such a God thing where there is a connection and when you meet up again, you just kind of pick up where you left off?
Sure.
And I think that's awesome. And I love how you said there are different people and different types of friendships that you have. And I just love that, you know, about being open and just being able to realise that. And whatever season you're in, people do come and go. I mean, our life is very transient, but it's awesome. It's great. And just quickly as we come to the conclusion, because we are getting on in time, and I love hearing from people's experiences, and I think we've got some good stuff today, haven't we? But in the workplace environment, because there can be relationship challenges in the workplace, and in particular, I know, Avina works at Port Care, so obviously faith is a huge part of that because it's, you know, Christian part. But the other, Ben and Mel, so what about, what's your biggest challenge to your faith in your work environment?
I think I spend almost all of my working life working for myself.
Yep.
So,
but when you deal, I mean, you obviously
have
clients.
I couldn't find conflicts with myself.
Argument with yourself. But
yeah,
what
so
about,
I think I got the best of. Yeah.
But what about when you and being finance and mortgage broker, working with people, when you are dealing with them and helping them through quite a huge part of their lives, have you? I know that, you know, often in work environments you can't really share your faith, but have you ever had the opportunity of you know, when there has come, they've got questions or they've got anxiety or they're all confused, what are some of the things that perhaps your faith has helped you in dealing with, you know, your clients?
Well, I think I have never... I always tell my client that I'm a Christian.
Okay.
And that sometimes if they want to meet on Sunday, like afternoon, I've got an appointment.
Sure.
I always tell them that I can't do it in the morning because I go to church.
Yeah.
Yep. And to a certain extent, I think they respect that.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to bring my faith into my work is by like what the Bible says, do unto them what I want them to, you know, what I want others to do unto me. So it's
very
like for me is if I have got something that I think is good for them,
mm-hmm.
I would really want to share with them about it. And likewise, in terms of God, of course, they are bound to be a situation whereby they are going through a hard time.
Mm.
And if they choose to open up to me,
mm-hmm.
I think there will be that is an opportunity for me to share a little bit about the faith. Yeah.
Yep. No,
so
awesome.
I'm not sure whether I answer your question.
Yeah, no, that does answer the question, I think. Yeah, no, it does. And what about you, Mel? I know you sort of touched on it before when you were talking about being in your work environment, but do you find that you have specific challenges with your faith in your work environment?
Yeah, I teach in a non-Christian primary school, a public school, so we're not meant to share religious beliefs or political beliefs, anything like that with the children. But there are times when I call my car my little prayer room. So I'll be having a challenging student and I pray for them on the way to school and I'll pray over their desks in the morning.
Oh,
God,
so good.
Please give me patience to deal with this one today. Yeah. And he does, and I think the patience is the thing. No matter what the child throws at you, that you can deal with it in a calm and rational manner and turn it for the best.
Mm.
I think with the diminishing number of Christians on our staff, I mean, everyone knows that Jenny in the office is an absolute prayer warrior. And at times we have prayed for staff members. People who've been having surgery, they've said to us, can you pray for us? And we will go and pray with them. Oh, we have our chaplain. We have a fabulous chaplain, Joel.
Yep.
And so he's another Christian on our staff, but only Monday and Friday. But we'll be the little prayer team and go and pray with people and, you know, just give them some peace around whatever's going on in their life. So, and I guess too, like in my marriage, where Paul's watching me closely, what is she doing? How's she going to react to this situation?
Mm.
I think people in your workplace are too, and sometimes they'll be a bit wacky. And they'll say, you're a Christian. And I say, yep, I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven.
Yeah.
And I think just being real, letting them see that you aren't perfect, you can make mistakes too. And I've had some fabulous opportunities to pray for parents as well, parents going through cancer, parents with financial problems. I had a beautiful family. Mum came to me and she was having marital issues and she asked if I would pray with her.
Oh, so good.
And so I did and she was able to get through all of that with the help of her church also.
Yeah.
But being asked to do that is just such a privilege.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's good. And thank you for sharing because, you know, it's about being real, isn't it, in the workplace. And it's encouraging to hear from both of you that when you mention that you're Christians and people are open to that, and you know, it's lovely to hear that, you know, if they have problems or they say, can you pray for me? So it's encouraging. We can be real, don't have to Bible bash people in our workplaces, but we can be real and be ourselves, and I think that's so awesome. So just as we conclude this morning, I mean, we could sit here and chat all day, I think, not a problem, but I think that people will want to go home soon to have lunch. But just as we finish our talk of relationships, I would like to ask, are there any specific strategies that you have found most helpful in building workplace relationships?
I think what Ben said about the listening twice as much as you talk.
Very good.
Because that's something that I've had to really practice because I love to chat.
Mm.
So remembering to ask a question and then close my mouth and just listen. Mm. I have a deputy principal, he's a male, and he's brilliant at this. And you often have a whole conversation with him where he goes... And I said, your wife must love you, because he just doesn't say anything, but he's thinking about it, and then at the end he'll give you his view. So I've learned a lot from him, and I think, what Ben said is so important to make sure that you listen and you hear the need of that person's heart, what they're actually saying, because they might say something, but what are they actually saying? And if you listen carefully and ask the right questions, you can find that out and then help them.
Yeah.
And over to you. I guess just now I touched a bit about how powerful words can be.
Mm.
And just by reading the first book of the Bible, Genesis, we know that when God created the universe, he didn't do much, but he just spoke the words. And that's how powerful words are.
Yes.
And when he said that, let there be light, and there was light. When I try that at home, let there be light.
Yes.
And then I hear a voice from behind, and the voice of not God, Avina, telling me, go look for the switch. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, so I think it's like...
Good tip.
Yeah. I think it's very important for us to be mindful of our words.
Yes.
Very important. Indeed. Yeah, and it can build up or it can tear down. And I think for the person who is receiving that, I think first and foremost, like I mentioned earlier, emotions are really good.
Mm.
But we have to learn to be the master of our emotion. When we first got married, Avina is a really emotional person. No. Oh, sorry. Yep. Oops. I'm going to get it later. Yeah. Yeah. But I always told her that it is good that you have got emotion, but you have to learn to master those emotion, because don't let your emotion master you.
Mm.
Because if you do that, then it is very difficult.
Yeah.
You tend to close up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you master your emotion and try to learn where is this coming from, there could be an underlying, you know, a thing. Like maybe someone have spoken this to you, a loved one.
Yes.
Yeah, and then that really hurts you really badly.
Mm.
So I think words are really important.
Mm.
They are really powerful. Yes. So we have to be very mindful.
What about you, Avina, about building relationships in your workplace?
I think there's three things. I think first is, for me, is always reminding myself that God is the boss. So God is wherever I work for the Lord.
Yes.
And I carry that with me, that God is in my workplace. Mm-hmm. So in the way I carry out my relationship, whether is it with a staff, whether is it with, you know, someone at the end, at the receiving end of my service, God is my boss. And the second thing I would say is have realistic expectation from people that you work with, that you're part of the team or that you're managing.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is something that there's this obscure verse in the Bible that helped me when not in port care, in my last job in the university where I was in the management role, and I managed a team of 14 people, and there was this year that was a really tough year. And staff wasn't understanding of where I was coming from. People were unhappy, and I thought, I've done my best. I have gone to the Lord in prayer. I've made the best decision, and people were still unhappy. And I was just feeling really frustrated. I was feeling burnt out. I was feeling like, God, why am I not getting it right? And I went to the Lord in prayer, and there was this obscure verse in the Bible that somehow, it's actually helped me write out the rest of my career. You know, and I always keep it in mind. And that is one of the last two verses in John chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
where if you read John chapter 2, it was about Jesus carrying out the first miracle at the wedding of Cana. he turned water into wine. Mm. After that, he gone on to do lots of miracles. Mm. And the last two verses of John chapter 2 say, because of the many miracles that Jesus performed during the Passover celebration, many began to believe in him and worship him. And then he goes on to say that, but Jesus did not entrust his heart to them because Jesus knew what was the nature of men.
Right.
Most obscure verse. But at that point of my leadership crisis, at that point, I learned. I said, yep, I have actually put, I have unreal expectation of men. You know, I just feel like if I do this, they will understand. If I do this, they will appreciate me. If I do this, you know, but the fact of the matter is if you're a leader, you make unpopular decisions. And that cannot please everyone.
Yep.
And that obscure verse in John chapter 2 became my it's one of my guiding verse in workplace, is that, you know what? Jesus has the best intention. If there's anyone in this world that has the purest intention, it would be Jesus, right? Mm. But Jesus never entrusts his heart to man because he knew what was in the heart of man. Mm. He never ride on the popularity because he know man can be fickle. Mm. Man can worship you one day and then tear you down the others. Man can sing you praises and at the end just walk away. Mm. And that has kept me very grounded in what I can see. So I go to God. I rely on God because God never fails. The third thing I learned is in workplace relationship is learn to say no. Just say no. If you can't do it, say no. If it's too much on it, say no. And it's okay to say no because then you're setting boundaries.
Yes,
you're not taking on too much that you cannot carry. You're not, you know, setting yourself up to be disappointed. Likewise, you're not setting the other person up to be expecting you to deliver and you actually can't. You got too much on your plate, you know, or unreal expectations. So for me, it's learning to say no and be okay with it.
No, so good. Thank you, Mel, Ben and Avina, for your chat this morning and for sharing your stories. Yeah, absolutely. Big round of applause.